All right. Good morning. Good morning. So high five your neighbor and say, roller coaster. Now high five somebody else and finish the lyric. Let's do it. Come on. Oh, man. Y'all don't love? Come on. We're at church. We got love, everybody. It's a roller coaster. No, it's a tough crowd. Well, so since that's the case, and we're talking about roller coasters, today I'm so excited because today we're going to finish our Selfless series. And I just did that. That was a, y'all ready? This is like the old school revival. I'm hitting the, woo, it's going to be crazy. If the stage falls, blame me. It's my fault. Today I'm excited because I'm talking about this thing that God's placed on my heart to share with you called Faith to Start. Over this past few weeks, let me take this phone out so it don't go woo on me. Over these past few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to lead a selfless life in 2018. How we get to be different. How it's not about being selfish, how it's not all about us, how 2018 has been about resolutions. We've talked about our one thing. We've talked about where our hope lies, number one. We've talked about who we are in Christ, number two. We've talked about why we do what we do. Last week, we got to dive into really trusting the process. And today, we're going to have faith to start, okay? So we're going to finish off our series this week with faith to start in this selfless series. And next week, which is the big game Sunday, we're going to wear our team colors and we're going to worship. We're going to have a good time next week. We're going to have a really good time, but we still have this week to have a good time. So while we're on the subject of roller coasters, how many people remember roller coasters growing up? How many people still ride roller coasters? How many people are scared of roller coasters? Okay, praise God and amen. So today when I was getting ready to talk about faith to start, I thought about two things. So we'll start with a roller coaster since I begged you to sing Roller Coaster of Love earlier and that didn't work out. Roller coaster, you remember getting in line for the roller coaster? And how that hour and a half wait seemed worth it, right? And you took step by step by step. You saw the roller coaster. You saw the hills, the loop-de-loops. Or it was Dumbo, and he went up and down, and that was considered a roller coaster, right? Like, you remember the roller coaster, and you saw it, and you were so excited. And then the moment came. Time to get on the ride. Time to get on the coaster. Does everybody remember that? And do you remember for that moment, either faith or fear gripped you? Because you could go in, and like, I remember getting ready to go in, and I remember my first roller coaster was the Carolina Cyclone at Carowinds. If you know, you know. If not, maybe Disney World was you, or maybe Six Flags was you, but I remember that's what it was. And I had already started planning my escape. Like, I was getting ready to get in, and I remember my mom was with me on the roller coaster. She was with me. It was Carolina Cyclone. And I remember stepping in, and I'd already planned my escape. Like, I was just going to go step in the car and go over to the other side. You know, like, yep, got on a roller coaster. Go ahead and count it. Like, I was ready to go, right? Like, how many of us feel that way sometimes? So we see the roller coaster, we get on, and then all of a sudden I heard, like, I'm barred in. Yeah, when they go to check it for it's loose, I still got a chance to get out, right? Still got a chance to get out. And then all of a sudden I heard it. Click, 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 click. It was time. It was time. And I remember, okay, you can't be afraid now. It's time to go. It's time to go. And I remember getting on there and absolutely loving it. I love roller coasters now. Like, it is so fun to get on a roller coaster. But it made me think, for me, that's how our life is. Sometimes it's full of ups and downs. It's loop-de-loops. It's throwing you for curves. And you don't realize, you get either really scared because you want control of the roller coaster, or you realize who's in control and you can raise your hands and have a dang good time while you're on it. For me, I love raising my hands and having a good time. I love in worship when I see that we can put our hands up in worship, or however God's calling us to worship, like, we can have a good time because that roller coaster is life and the conductor is God. And he's bringing us up and down through loop-de-loops. He's with us the whole time. And if we realize that he's bringing us through it all for our joy, and just to hear us laugh, then man, it makes those valleys seem better. It makes those times where you're in a constant waiting and you're going up the hill. Because after that first time, the hill was the worst part for me. It's like, I know this is going to be fun. Click, 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 click. Then you look down the side. Man, I can't see my car in the parking lot no more. Well, I might be up tall. And then you ride and you have the time of your life, right? So wherever you are in 2018, maybe you're in a season of waiting. Maybe you feel like you're on the mountaintop. Maybe you feel like you're going into the valley. Maybe life just threw you through the loop-de-loop. I want you to continue to have the faith to start and do all that God's called you to do. I can't promise you it's going to be easy. I can't promise you it's going to be bells and whistles, but I can promise you it will be fun. And it will be worth it, even through the trial. Because I can tell you the roller coaster, I still get on it each and every day. I would love to get on the roller. I don't have one in my backyard. That sounded crazy, but I would love to get on the roller coaster because life is full of that. And so the other example I thought of today, I was getting ready for you, is maybe it's not the roller coaster. Maybe we can go way back. Maybe you have kids or grandkids now, or maybe you remember the slide. How many folks remember the slide? Like, how crazy was the slide? Like, one step, two steps. You get up to the top, and the first time, somebody's got to help you down, right? And then all of a sudden, you do it, and then you can't get the kids off of it. Same thing with the roller coaster for me. Maybe you don't like roller coaster, but slides are your thing. There is a slide over in the pool over here at the Y, which is convenient. Don't go do that. Don't tell them I told you you could do it. But if you happen to sneak in, I just need you to say Jesus Christ, and I'm going to catch you and go ahead and baptize you so we can make that happen. But if that's the case for you, really, 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 I want you to see today, to have the faith to start, because you might be climbing the stairs of the slide or getting on the roller coaster. But today, I want you to have the faith to start whatever God's called you to. If you could take anything from today, if I could have this message in a sentence, I would say this. I would really, really say that we don't have to have the faith to finish. We just have to have the faith to start. You don't have to start out with the faith to finish. Because here's the thing about the journey. Your faith will grow. No matter what you're doing, your faith will grow. You just got to have the faith to take the first step. And if you'll take the first step, it'll be real exciting because you'll probably want to take another step. It's like once I ride one roller coaster, I want to ride the next roller coaster. And one last thing about the roller coaster, because I've got your attention and I want to make you laugh one more time because that's how I roll. I learned really early on that I always wanted to be on the front car, not the back. Because when somebody gets sick, you know, there you go. I'm going to leave you with that. We're going to pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity for us to lift your name high. Please just let our hearts be open, our ears be open, our eyes be open to what you would have us do today. Because you have a word for each and every one of us, because you're a good God and you're a good, good Father. The thing is, we get to choose whether we're obedient to that word or disobedient and the consequences that come with it. So today, Jesus, I beg, including myself, that we step in obedience, that we would know no matter what we face, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the trial, no matter the hills, the valleys, the loop-de-loops, whatever it is, God, we know that we're not alone and that you alone are in control. So give us faith to start today. We love you, Lord, and it's your name we pray. Amen. All right, cool beans. So today we're going to get going. It's only a 3.5-hour message. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be going through all the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. So I hope you brought your pin drops in the room. I hope you brought your Bible. We're just looking at God's faithfulness, y'all. This is going to be good. We got to go through all of them. Really, if you've got your Bible, we're going to be going back to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be talking about David. And believe it or not, next week, even in true worship, we're going to be talking about a guy named David. So I hope you're ready. So we're going to be talking about David. And David led worship tonight. He did lead worship today. He did good. But we're all going to be talking about David. So if you got your Bible, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be at verse 45. Verse 45. And I might have started with verse 48. So I'm going to read from verse 45 to help you out. And then it'll pick up on the screen on verse 48. Okay? So verse 45 is where we're going to start. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Here we go. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." It'll pick up on the screen here on verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly. If you got your Bible, you know, I've told you, I want you to have the freedom to take notes. I want you to write in your Bible. It's really cool. It's not like anything bad is going to happen to you. Just circle that quickly. I love that. He ran quickly. He ran quickly. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And remember what he said that he was going to defeat him without. Without a sword in his hand, He struck down the Philistine and killed him. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. So today when we're talking about faith to start, I want to give you some steps, maybe some encouragement today to have faith to start. Because here's the thing, I'm pretty sure you know deep down you've got the faith to do it. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, he's already overcame death. There's nothing that you can face that would ever stop you from the circumstance that you're in. But sometimes you just need encouragement. And we're going to learn that today, okay? So the first thing when you have the faith to start to do is to start small. Start small. Isn't it so hard to do that? To start small? Like I talked about slides earlier. You don't put your kid on like the biggest pool. Maybe you did, and bless your heart if you did. The biggest pool slide imaginable. You don't bring them to the water park and the 20-foot high round slide to take them down for them to enjoy the slides, right? Because you're probably going to scare them to death. Same thing for a roller coaster. You know, you probably took them on Dumbo, or you took them on something first. You took them on a little bitty one first to get them used to having that feeling of disorientation, right? Like that feeling, just to see if they liked it or not. Because if it scared the crap out, I screamed my lungs out. I didn't care. I mean, if it scared the crap out of them, maybe you don't want to bring them to that before. But I look in my faith, and it's so hard to start small because God's called me to something big. God's called me to do this, live this big faith-filled life. Why in the world do I have to start small? Like, God, you've called me to reach Spartanburg. You've called me to be a pastor. You've called me to be a realtor. Like, you've called me to do all these. Why do I got to start small? But this journey always starts with a small next step. This journey is just one small next step after the other. Following Jesus is just that. One small step. One small step. Because if we tried to get all the way to the finish, we'd quit. If we would see what we had to go through to get to the finish, we'd quit. We would think, oh my gosh, there's no way I can handle this. We'd stay stuck. We would tremble. We would be fearful. So I think about David right here. He started small. He started with 5 small stones in a pouch. Believe it or not, he started with some sheep out in the field. He started small. He did everything small first. So he was anointed king, and he stayed in the small field. He was anointed king and should have had everything that he wanted, but he still had faith in starting small. So my question is today, God's called you probably to something huge. There's no probably, he has. He's called you to something big. Are you having the faith to start small today? Or are you praying, God, if you don't do this by tomorrow, this isn't going to work. You didn't call me to it. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do it anymore. You know what? I've had it, God. You've told me that I was going to win the lottery, Lord Jesus, and I haven't won it yet. I keep buying these lottery tickets. I keep reading my Bible, God, and you say if I pray and ask anything in your name that it's going to come, right? And it's not coming. Because you got to have faith to start small. You got to listen to what he's calling you to do. That's exactly what David did here. When I'm thinking about where David is, it made me think of our perspective. And I want to say this. We don't need to have a greater advantage for our faith to grow. We need to have a greater awareness of our advantage. We don't need to have a great advantage. David had zero advantage. He had no war skills. He had no king skills. He had no battle skills. What he did is had skills in the field. What if God's preparing you in the field to start small? What if God's calling you to go do something big with 5 little stones? Maybe it's just the widow's mite he's calling you to do something big with. Would you trust that? Would you believe that? Or would you say, God, I can't make a difference. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. I don't have the communication skills. I can't sing. I can't dance. Bless your heart. I can't do those things. Like, I can't, God. If you would just give me that, then I could do this better. How many of us have prayed that prayer? Sometimes I feel like I live there. Jesus, if you could just please do this, I can make it work. And that's not the point of it. The point is he's working it all out. We just get to grow in our faith step by step with him and see him do the miraculous. Because he's already done the hardest thing in the world that we can't conquer. He's already conquered it. That's death. He's already did the thing that we should be the most scared of, death. He's already conquered it. So if he's conquered that, why in the world would we be afraid of anything else? Why in the world would we be afraid to start small? Like, I look at where we are at the Vine Church right now. Like, we get to start small. Now, to some, this may be large. To other churches, this may be large. But we've got to start small. And it's been a blessing. Because I tell you what, if we had thousands of people here, if God's called us to be a part of thousands of people, which I believe he has, if we had it right now, we would all be absolutely crushed because we would take it on our heads and on our backs to try to support them. And that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us in the meantime to take small next steps and be obedient, to grow our faith, to be ready when he brings the thousands in. Same thing in your life. Maybe he's calling you to do something great, but you're still in the field. You're still unnoticed. You still don't have the skills, and you're complaining because you don't have the skills. But what if you were just obedient in the meantime and took one small step after the other? It's crazy. Look what David did. He killed Goliath. He killed Goliath from one small next step after the other. It wasn't anything David himself did. He literally just said, God, use me. He had an entire army behind him. Saul's cloaked him in his own robe, and he's like, I can't wear this. And instead, he goes to this guy who's 10 and a half feet tall, standing there, who's beckoning him, saying, kill me, strike me down. And he's like,
I got some stones, man.
Like, that's all he's got. He's got some stones. But he trusts that God told him he would get to step into that victory. So today, what I want you to be challenged with is I want you to ask yourself, where's your faith? Are you believing in starting small? Or do you think you've got to take a giant leap every day? Because I will tell you, if you'll start small and trust God with a small, it'll always lead to more. I don't know what more may be. More may mean you've got to go deeper into the fire. More may mean that you've got a bigger trial ahead of you so that you can grow your faith. More may mean that you have to cut things off in your life that you thought were so important, but God says you don't need anymore. That might be what he's calling you into, but you just have to have the faith to start small. So as we live this selfless life, we have to have the faith to start small. I think of David all the way through, and like, here he is. He's the youngest. I know what that feels like. He's the youngest. He's the pest, probably. He's the one that everybody's like, oh, there he is. There's David with his little dream again. Like, remember, Joseph was that way. It's another guy in the Old Testament that was that way. David's the youngest. He gets anointed king. So I'm sure that went over well with everyone. Right? Like the little ones getting anointed. Oh gosh. What about our nation, our country? Have you seen this generation? How many people say that? This next generation, right? That's what we hear all the time. I'm sure David heard it. It was no different. It was no different. But he was faithful with sheep. Bad sheep. Have you ever dealt with sheep? They stink. They're not smart. And you really, really have to work hard to keep them protected and together. But here's the thing, they know your voice, and they'll follow the voice of the one they trust. And even when that one they trust tells them to take a small next step, they're willing to do it. Even in their dumb idiosyncrasies, even in the times when they don't want to, whenever the voice they know and trust says, hey, I know you see the grass at the upper part of the mountain, but we've got to go this way to get greener grass, they'll go that way. Maybe that's where you stand, is you see something great and you think that God's called you to this one thing and he's telling you, hey, it's better over here. Just follow me and trust me. It's better over here. Go this way. I think of David playing the lyre and keeping the sheep. Like he was very lyrical. He could play the lyre and he kept sheep. And when no one was looking, he did the small things that helped him be who we talk about today. Maybe that's where you're missing. You know, I went all the way through and I'm thinking of all these small next steps and I'm looking at David, and sometimes David's bipolar. I feel that way too sometimes with Jesus when I'm praying. One prayer, I'm like, yeah! And the next prayer, I'm like, come on, Jesus, man, this is killing me. This is killing me, right? I don't know if you're there. If I'm the only one, I'm going to put myself out there. I don't care. I know that I do. So y'all can call me crazy. That's okay. But I look at David and he's doing the small things that led up to the big things of where he is in his life. But I thought of where he was again in the line. You see, he was the last son born of Jesse, yet he ended up being first in the kingdom. Does that sound familiar? There was a guy that walked the earth that said the same thing. His name's Jesus, by the way. And he's the only one that can set you free and the only one that can help you be a part of conquering death. And he says, in the kingdom of heaven, the last will be first, and the first will be last. So don't get caught up in your position. Know that Jesus is with you, but you have to take the small next step of obedience or disobedience. You make the choice of that. Not your spouse, not your friend, not anyone else, only you, and you have to live with the consequence of it. And I will promise you, the consequence of obedience is always better than the temporary satisfaction of disobedience. Always. David lived in that. And as I was growing up, really last, before I keep railing on this point, I got so many memories I'm sharing today. It's crazy. So I was growing up as a kid in children's church and in a program called Awana. It's still around today. Approved workmen are not ashamed. If you know, you know. Praise God and amen. One of the verses we had to memorize growing up, I remember, is Psalm 119, 105. And it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I always think of that when it comes to starting small. And you've heard it before, but I always think of it. Of the time, the lamp is like this. And it only shows me one next step at a time. Not 17 next steps down the road. But what it lights up behind me is God's faithfulness. And what it shows me at one next step at a time is his continued faithfulness and my continued growth. And my question is, are you trusting his lamp to be a light into your path and to your feet? Are you just trying to hold the lamp up and see seven exits down the road and trust? Hey, well, I want to be 7X. I see the mansion, Jesus. I see that it's coming. Why can't I have it now? I'm ready. And he's like, "You're not ready. You're not ready." Are you going to trust the small next step, one at a time? Let's have the faith to start and continue on. Let's continue on the story. It's like 30 verses on the next one. I hope you're ready. Really, it's one verse. Psalm 1 Samuel 17, verse 51 says this. David ran. And he stood over him. He took a hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. I always love that. I don't know why, but I like to think of that sword and the stone reference. I don't know why. He took it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. Not his sword, but Goliath's sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. You know, so many times as I'm getting ready to give you this next point, I can say that in my life, I've been stuck here. And the second way that you can have faith to start today is stop surviving. Stop surviving. You know, it's easy to be in survival mode sometimes. Sometimes it's an excuse. Some people thrive in that, some people don't. And when we're surviving sometimes, we're either fight or flight. Right? Like, I'm either going to get on the roller coaster or I'm going to flight on out the road and I'm going to get off the other side, right? We're in fight or flight. But here's the thing that you can be in your faith. You can be stuck surviving what God's already conquered because you're trying to cheat death and it's already been conquered. It's already been beaten. And if that's been beaten, nothing else in this world should consume you. Or me. Preaching to me here. Nothing else could do that. But yet our faith only grows if we see this little bitty next step one at a time and we get stuck surviving. So here's where I am. Like, I'll always think of no fear when I think of this. Like, am I living a life that's fearful because I'm striving, or am I living a life that's thriving because I'm in God, I'm in Christ? See, it's clear David won this fight. He won this fight. But when we're in survival mode, a lot of times, we're like the armies of Israel right here. They're just trying not to die. They've heard generations that have left Egypt from slavery, right? And they stepped into the land that God promised. We talked about this a little bit ago. It took what should have been 11 days, took 40 years. Please, Jesus, don't let me be that hard-headed. I know I'm hard-headed. Don't make it be 40 years, please. If it's supposed to take 11 days, let it happen. But I trust your timing. Like, really, Israel is stuck. Saul himself is stuck. He's just trying to survive this. He's thinking, all right, well, if we lose this battle, then we'll cry out to God, and then maybe he'll deliver us. Because he delivered our forefathers. He's been faithful. So we're just going to stay right here and listen to the enemy scream all of his accusations against me. Tell me everything I'm not. We're not going to have faith. We're going to operate in fear. And we're just going to survive this. Every time in my life that I've been stuck surviving, it's because I'm in my own strength. It's because I'm in my own strength. It's because I say, okay, I can make the numbers work this way. I can make this work that way. I know that I can pay the bills this way. I can get this sold this way, or I can do this way. I can make church work this way, or I can make chairs look this way, or I can make that do this and this do that, and I can make this relationship work this way. If I just text them once a week, like, that's a relationship. Like, we can make this work. Like, I can do things my way spiritually. If I just read my Bible, I can make this work, God. Like, I'll read my Bible every day, so you'll bless me because I just read my Bible. Bible every day, so you're naturally going to take care of all of it, right? Like, so many times in my life when I just survive, it's because I'm in my own strength. The entire nation of Israel was surviving. David was the only one thriving. He was the only one that ran to the freaking battle. Like, he is the one not only ran to the battle, he stood over Goliath and chopped his head off. Take that, Game of Thrones. I don't watch it. I'm not in it yet, but I know a lot of people are. But it is a storyline that people run to. Yet when I mention the name of Jesus and what he conquers, hey, I don't want anything to do with that, man. Yeah, he's conquered death. Yeah, Goliath is nothing to him. He's already conquered that thing called death. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear about that because he didn't come through for me one time. Isn't that where we are on our, a lot of times on our 2018 resolutions? We're surviving. Like, I'm only committing to this diet because I have to. Like, I might die. The doctor says I got a heart condition, right? Like, I'm only going to do this. And so we try it for 2 weeks. We gain 2 pounds after working out, and all we ate is lettuce. And it's like, I'm done with this. I tried it. I've been there. I've done that. This diet don't work. None of this works. I'm just surviving. Like, I'm just trying to get by. And then what happens is you go right back to where you were. Israel lived that life. God set them free in his promise. And he said, this is the thing I promised you, the thing I gave to your forefathers. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. You just have to be obedient to what I'm calling you to do step by step. And they got stuck in survival mode. They went through the ritual of prayer instead of being open in prayer. They went through the ritual of fast instead of being open to fast. They went through the ritual of tithe to make sure everyone knew they tithe instead of understanding what it really meant in their faith. And so today, I just want to ask you, are you surviving or are you thriving? Because here's what I know. Jesus didn't die on a bloodstained cross for us not to just go to hell. He didn't just die on a cross for us not to go to hell. It wasn't fire insurance. He died on the cross so that we could be a part of heaven coming to earth, so that we can be a part of a family, so that we are not out there all alone. We are not out there hopeless and helpless when anything comes our way, because he's already conquered the only thing we should fear, and that's death. And when I'm surviving, I don't care what religion you're in, I don't care where you are, the one thing you try to cheat is death. And there's only one way to do it, faith in Jesus. And I believe my Savior didn't die on the cross for me just to survive. He didn't. He died on the cross so that I could have a life and live it to the full. John 10:10 tells us that. And if you aren't living life to the full, I just want to ask, where's your faith? Living life to the full doesn't mean all the money, cars, clothes, and all that comes with it and the private planes. Maybe living a life to the full means you continuing to be faithful in the small things so that he can bring you to the big things. So my question is, where's your faith? Are you continuing to have the faith to start? Are you just going to stay surviving like Israel and hope that someone else comes along? Hope that someone else comes along. The last thing I have for us today as we continue is going to be 1 Samuel 17, verse 52 through 58. I'm going to grab a little sip of water while you turn there, and we get everything queued up. Flu's going around, y'all. Can't be playing. All right, verse 52 says this, "Then the men of Israel and Judah surged." Copy that. Time out. Circle that, copy that, whatever you got to do. Surged. I loved it. So David ran quickly. David ran and stood over him. Then what happens is Israel surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath, to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sherem road to Gath and Ekron. When Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistines' head. I just laughed, sorry. I just imagine David's walking around with this guy's head everywhere. You know, like, here's my trophy. Like, he's got this guy's head. A 10.5-foot tall man's head is probably pretty big, I would hope. If not, if it's small, then that would be even funnier. But we won't open that one. So David is walking around with his head in his hand. He put the Philistines' weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, Abner. I love that. Abner, whose son is that young man? Abner replied, as surely as you live, your majesty, I do not know. Now, time out. if you think that you're not noticed. Remember David, the last time we saw him with Saul? Not only was he in his tent, he played the lyre for him. And what did he say when he called for David? He said, the son of Jesse, call him back to me. So in 1 Samuel 16, he knows that he's the son of Jesse. He's just met him again. Saul's crazy. Like, he's just met him again. Be like, whose son is that? Maybe he had blood on him. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. Or maybe he was just weirded out by the guy holding a head in his hand. I don't know. But he doesn't know whose son he is, and that just cracks me up. The king said, find out whose son this young man is. And as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him, brought him before Saul, with David still holding Philistine's head. Isn't that creepy? Go to a job interview like that. That doesn't just set that down on a table. You're hired like right away. I'm hiring you. I don't know why, but I am. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Of Bethlehem. Here's the last thing that I would encourage you with as you have the faith to start. So you've started small. You've stopped living in survival mode. The third thing is surge ahead. Dear God, surge ahead. Even if it's a small next step, surge ahead. Maybe you are the catalyst in someone's life to make thousands surge ahead in their walk with Jesus. That's what David got to be a part of. He got to be a part of them surging ahead because he was faithful in the small things and he stopped living in survival mode like they did. Remember, he brought macaroni and cheese. He brought pasta and cheese to his brothers. We have established that. It is a holy food. That is why it is at every covered dish and it will be in heaven. Praise God and amen. That being said, he's there. He was faithful in the small things. He did not survive. He instead thrived, and now he's standing there. He gets to be a part of people surging ahead in their walk with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's what I live to do. I love doing that. But I have to first be faithful in the small things. Because if I can't be faithful in the small things, I never get to be a part of people surging ahead. And maybe that's where you stand. Is the small things seem like they don't matter. The small things seem like it's pointless to do. It's pointless to pray. It's pointless to read my Bible 10 minutes a day. It's pointless to reach out to that person. It's pointless. And you feel those small things don't matter. It's pointless that I get up to read my Bible. It's pointless that I read my Bible before bed because that's the only time I get to do it. It's pointless. Those small things add up to make a big difference in so many lives around you. The thing is, it starts with your faith. Because if you're faithful in those small things, Jesus says, and he promises us, the one who's faithful with small, I will give much. And the one who is not faithful with much, I'll even take that away from him. I don't want to be that guy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to start out with a lot and then Jesus be like, you're not faithful, bye. Like, take it all away. I'd rather be the guy that started with nothing and saw God be faithful all the way through to something. Not for my name, but for his glory. And that's what we get to be a part of at the Vine Church, guys. That's what we get to do. So I'm going to say personally for you, what is your next step? What is God calling you to do? Where is he asking you to be a part of in his grand plan? In this roller coaster ride called life, where are you at? Are you at the bottom of the hill? Are you at the top? Are you in the loop-de-loop? What next step is he telling you to take in that? Because here's the thing, I'll promise you, you taking that next step will mean so much more than you just sitting back and surviving. You know, we find out later in David's story that I love all the way through here. He says, it would not be with sword that I killed the giant. God will make sure I know that. You see, Goliath went into that battle with a sword. He's pretty sure he was going to win, right? He's called out to everybody, and he's got this weapon that he's trained in. And that weapon is the thing he's going to kill David with. And what's funny is, we grew up and we've heard this 1,000 times that weapon is the one that David used to kill Goliath, right? Like, it's really crazy. He killed him, and then he cut his head off. And as we learned today, you might not have known that, but he carried this. I hope Goliath had long hair. If not, it was like a football that he carried. I don't know. But he carried this head around everywhere he went, which is weird. Can't wait to ask him that in heaven one day. That's going to be awesome. But all that to say, this weapon, he killed Goliath with his own weapon. But see, that's where the story ends for a lot of us. We think, as we grew up in VBS and we grew up in school, we think that's where the story ends with that weapon. And if you were to go and you read 1 Samuel 21, you'll see that weapon shows up again. You'll see it shows up in 1 Samuel 18 again. David's on the run in 21 from Saul. The very guy that he's been a part of delivering, the crazy guy that don't know whose son he is now on the run trying to kill David and what God's called him to do. And the only thing David has, he walks in, and the only thing he comes to the battle with as Saul is chasing him is he shows up, and he goes back, and I believe it's Nob. What a name. He shows up, and Goliath's sword is the only weapon he has available. Know that the weapon the enemy uses, the lies that the enemy will use, the schemes that are planned, God can always use if you're obedient. For your good and his glory. He always will. He always will. Thing is, you've got to be faithful in the meantime. You've got to be obedient in the meantime. Otherwise, if you say, hey, I'm going to stop. I'm addicted to this. I'm going to stop. And then you just keep being disobedient with it. It's going to be really hard to beat it. It's going to be really hard to give God the glory in it. Right? Same thing as you're trying to grow in this walk with Jesus. So today, that's all I want to ask you is that. What's God calling you to do? The last thing I want to leave you with before we get started into the second sermon, here in a minute, is a quote, and then I'm going to give you some story time with me here. I used to hang this up in my stores when I was a manager at Walgreens because it makes all the difference to me. And it's a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, and it says this, do what's necessary, then what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. Do what's necessary, then what's possible, suddenly you're doing the impossible. And I will tell you how that's impacted my life and my walk with Jesus is I do what's necessary, and I see what's possible by taking next steps with him. All of a sudden, I'm getting to be a part of impossible things, not because of me, but because of him. But it's only because I'm taking step by step of obedience. So today, what's the next step that's necessary for you to step into the possible things he has for you so you can see him do an impossible thing in your life? Whatever that looks like, I don't know. I'm just asking you, what's your next step? And will you be willing to take it? Because there's an entire group of people that are hopeless in this county that need to hear the hope of the gospel. There's a entire group of people around the world that are just waiting for someone to step up and have the faith to say that God is who he says he is, that Jesus has already conquered death, and there will be nothing that comes against me that will scare me as much as death. So I have faith that the one who's delivered me from death will deliver me from this and every other circumstance I'll ever walk into. Will you do that today? Will you do that? So, I said I'd give you a little story time. I will tell you, there's something that I have just in my brain that I've heard before and I'll stick with outside of Mr. St. Francis of Assisi, and it says this: dream big, start small, but most of all, start. That's why we're here, guys. That's why the Vine Church is here. It's God's called us to something incredible, called us to be a part of something. I've told you what it is. Like, it's not for sale, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it up there, the Marriott. You're on notice. He's called us to be a part of turning that into a greenhouse, okay? So if we were so heck bent on going there, and yet this opportunity at the YMCA presented itself, and we said, no, we won't start small. We're going to go straight there. We would fail. We would fail. Absolutely. Because it's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to take one next step at a time. He's called me to come up here and share with you where he's called us to go, but he called me this time last year to tell a small group of people, as scary as this is what God's called me to do. And I don't know. I don't know the twists and turns. I don't know what's going to happen from step one to step 1,000. And believe it or not, I don't even know if I'm going to get to see it in my lifetime, but I know it's what he's called me to. Will you come be a part? Will you join me in this? Will you take next steps in Christ through it? Will you be there so that we can see God do something incredible? I'll tell you, he's faithful. We're here each and every week, and we get to be a part of a greater impact that we may not even see in this lifetime. And I just want to say thank you for that. And And I want to say thank you for whatever next steps God's going to call you to take today. And I'm going to say thank you for letting me be a part of that next step. Thank you for saying, I know God's called us to something big. I'll be obedient if he's called me to be a part of that. I know it sounds crazy, and I know it sounds like I may not be able to do anything much, and yet you've seen your little be multiplied over and over again. Thank you. Question is, what's your next step? Will you have the faith to take it with me? Maybe you're online and you haven't got to come hang out with us. Come hang out with us. You'll have fun. I promise. My jokes are better in person. But really, maybe you'll have fun. It'll be great. Maybe your next step is to step deeper into the vine, taking its next step into what God's called us to do and reaching more people. Maybe your next step is just to take the people that come inside your circle and show them Jesus like never before. Whatever that is, I want to encourage you to take it. Have the faith to start it today. Don't think small. Dream big and start small, and that's okay. And the dream should be what God's called you to, not what you want to do. Let me make that clear. Whatever God's called you to, ask him and he'll show you. Take that next step today. So as we get ready for our invitation and we get ready to just have the faith to start, maybe you don't know what faith looks like. Maybe you have tried to be a good person. Maybe you were like Israel and you were obedient. Maybe, like, I think there's this guy named Samuel in this story, and he's a prophet of God, and he's the one who has to tell David that he's going to be king, but he also has to tell Saul that he's not going to be king anymore. And yet he's at the battle lines with these people, and he's probably thinking, God, I've been faithful. I've done everything you've called me to do, and now I'm going to be a slave to the Philistines again? Like, what the heck? I'm going to go into slavery like my ancestors were? We're going to go take steps back? We're going to miss out on the promised land again? Like, what in the world, God? Like, I've been faithful. But you've lacked the faith that God is who he says he is. Maybe you aren't just a good person. Maybe you're meant to be something more. And you think, well, to be something more, it means I've got to do more. I've got to give more. I got to be a part of this charity. I got to serve. I got to show up to church, you know, not just on Christmas and Easter, but, you know, maybe July 4th. We'll see what we can work out. Maybe I need to just be a better person before I get to God. Maybe I need to do more before I get to God. Maybe it's a ladder I've got to climb. Like, I'm climbing up the ladder to the slide, right? And like I'm on step 10. And I just got to get to step 20. And if I'll get to step 20, then I know God will accept me. And I want to go ahead and eliminate that with you today. And I'm going to ask you to have the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Because here's the deal. None of us could climb the ladder to get to him. None of us could be good enough. None of us could conquer death. None of us could stand in Goliath's face and say, you are certain death, and I will defeat you on our own. There's no way we can defeat death on our own. I don't care who you are. It is, as a human, you can have all the age-defying creams. You can have all the gimmicks. You can have all the weight loss plans. You can have all the health and fitness goals. You could eat greens till you're blue in the face. You could work out 8 times a day. You could run marathons. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to prevent death. It's not going to stop you from dying. It's not. But there is one thing that has conquered that death. It gives you an opportunity to have a life that's beyond this world, but not just waiting for death to live it. You live it in the here and now. And that is faith that Jesus is who he says he is. All of us were born sinners. All of us have that in common. I don't care where we are, where you're watching. I don't care if you're sitting in a chair here, if you're watching online, if you're sitting in a parking lot right now or at the coffee shop watching this later in the week. Everyone, you look around, everyone around you is a sinner. But the thing is, we try to work our way to good. We try to conquer this thing called death, and we never could. And God knew we couldn't, so he made a way. And that way was Jesus. And he brought heaven to earth and lived the life that we couldn't live, the perfect life, and died the death that we deserved because of our sin, so that we can have life. So right now, maybe you just have your next step today is have the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed here, I'm just going to ask everybody just to repeat after me for the benefit of those. We pray as a family here for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ for the first time. I'm just going to ask you to repeat the words of this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that gets you saved. It's starting small with a step of faith to stop surviving and trying to conquer death, because you were never meant to do that. and allowing you to step deeper and surge ahead into what God's called you to be. And that's His son and daughter. Only if you have faith that Jesus is who He says He is. So repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, deserving death. You died on the cross for my sins, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. I receive, by faith, your grace today. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you, step by step, the rest of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, and that's the first time that you can say with faith that you believe Jesus is who He says He is, I'm going to count to three. Maybe you're watching online, maybe you're watching during the week, and at three, I'm going to ask you, if you're online, comment. If you're in the house today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three if that's you. One, two, three. Be afraid of that next step. Celebrate that next step. Angels in heaven are celebrating you taking that next step, that Jesus is who He says He is. You can throw those down. And if there's anyone else today, as we're getting ready for worship, I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to have closing prayer. But maybe God's been pressing on you the whole time this next step you have to take. And you need to talk to somebody about it, because you need the faith to start moving past your past. You need the faith to start moving into what God's called you to be. You need the faith to stop surviving. And you're ready to surge ahead, but you know you can't do it alone, because we weren't meant to do this life alone. And yes, you believe Jesus is who He says He is, but you need someone to come alongside and walk with you step by step. We would love to do that with you today. If that's you, as we worship, come step to the back of the room. I'm going to pray for you. Or you can come and hang out with me in the garden after the service. But I'm going to pray for you as we get ready for this worship song. And I'm going to beg you not to be afraid to move. Dear Jesus, thank you for each and every person here. Thank you for this opportunity to have the faith to start. Thank you for being the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this life, to do what we get to do. But God, sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it's full of hills and valleys and loop-de-loops and curves, and this roller coaster can be downright frightening. But Jesus, when we know you're in control, we can lift our hands up and not just enjoy the ride, but be a part of something incredible. So Jesus, for every person that needs to take a next step today, I'm begging you that they don't leave this house without talking to someone about it. You are our cornerstone. You are the reason we get to do what we get to do. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.